Would you join me again in the Gospel of John, please? And we are returning to the third chapter this evening. Last week, we looked at this. Let's see, where were we last week? Oh, where our Lord said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." So what we've done is we have now turned from these imperatives that defined our Lord's life. Remember? Just briefly stated, he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things. He must be rejected. He must be crucified. But he must be raised. And then heaven must receive him. And thanks be to God, he must reign until he's put all of his enemies under his feet. So that's sort of the arc there of the Father's will for the Son. And then we start turning to ourselves and we realize that there are some musts that touch the believer. And our Lord says this to Nicodemus, "Look, you must be born again." And think about that. We look at that as sort of a, well, there's lots of ways to look at that. You can think, oh golly, I've got to be this. But think of the Father saying, this must happen to this individual. He must pass out of death into life. And you think, well, that's glorious, isn't it? The will of the Father is for this person to come to Christ and be forgiven. Well, we're going on in the Gospel of John, this third chapter, and seeing another must before us. In fact, there's a couple of them. It's verse 30 of John chapter 3. And the simple sentence is, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That is so short. Let me read this again. He being Jesus, he must increase, but I, this is John the Baptist speaking, I must decrease. Now what he is saying here is that for the first objective to be realized, he must increase, it is essential that the other objective be realized as well. I must decrease. There's two musts here. The servant must decrease if the master is to increase. Now, what prompted this statement is, it comes out in the context here. And if you look back upstream a bit to verse 22, we find this, that after these things, after Jesus had spent that time and he'd spoken with Nicodemus, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there. And people were coming and were being baptized. Now look at verse 26. And John's disciples came to John and they said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing." And here's the point. And all are coming to him. It's like we can see our ministry starting to fall apart. We're not nearly as popular or as in demand as once we were. His ministry is swelling and ours is diminishing. You get the sense here, don't you? And it was all about this matter of the response of the people. They're responding more to Jesus and his disciples than they are to you, Rabbi, and by association, less response to us. And of course, John then says about this, well, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, why must John decrease? Let me ask that question. And now let's put ourselves into this equation and say, you know, this speaks to us as too, us as well. It's not just John that has to diminish. Would you be terribly offended if I said we have to diminish as well? If there's something in us that must decrease, If that really offends you, then let's talk after the meeting. But this is the direction we want to go, because it is true for every servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this, here's a crossword puzzle word for you. There's this onus. There's this ought. There's this obligation upon every believer. We must become less in our own estimation. We must become less in our own eyes. And Jesus must become greater. He must fill our horizon. He must occupy more and more and more of us while we occupy less and less and less of ourselves. That's an odd way to put it, but I think you're following me. John gives three reasons here, and I'd like to just go through these with you. But let's plug ourselves into this equation, all right? Can we say, he must increase, but I, and put your name there, I must decrease? Well, look at verse 28. John says, what does he say? You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent ahead of him. Why must Jesus increase? Let's ask it this way. Why must we decrease? It's because of who we are not. John says, I'm not the Christ, and neither are we. And this throws our Lord Jesus Christ into the absolute spotlight, the central focus of all things, that we are not him. He and he alone is the Son of God. He is the Lamb. Let all men adore him. Let every knee bow before him. But I am just one of those knees going down. This is the position. He says, I am not the Christ. And you bear me witness that I've said I'm not. Remember, they came to John, who are you? And this is always the way the opposition goes. It tries to get a handle on who you are. So when they have their handle, they can dismiss you and they say, no, you're not. Are you the prophet? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the Christ? No, I am not the Christ. Well, who are you? And I love his response, as you probably do too. I'm just a voice. I am a voice. I'm one sent ahead to speak, to cry, to foretell. But I am not the Christ, and neither are we. And the point is here is the nation. He is trying to get the nation, or really he's trying to get his disciples to see that the nation must not focus on the messenger, but the message. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are not Christ, we are just his messengers. I'm an apostle. Cephas is an apostle. John is an apostle. And what are we? We're just servants, Paul will say. He'll argue this way. This is basically what John is saying here. I'm not the Christ, I'm a messenger. And it's essential, as exciting as it is to see the hand of God moving after so long a time. And think of this. Here we can plug ourselves into this, can't we? It's been a long, long time. But all of a sudden you see the heavens open and God doing wonders and people being healed and blessed and touched and some being raised from the dead. And you think, well, at long last. And there's so much going on down there at this river, and it's so exciting to see a man like John come onto the scene. And oh, John, and he says, take your eyes off of me. Look at the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. This is what he is saying. He said this in words. Now he's saying it in other words. You bear me witness. I said, I'm not the Christ. This holds true for you and for me, does it not? We could back this up and we'd say, oh, I would never say that I am the Christ or I am all that important. But we can start to run down that path a bit when we start thinking, but my interpretation of Scripture is right and my view of the way the church ought to behave is just right and the way that we do things is just right. And after a while, we're pointing to ourselves more than we are pointing to the Lord Jesus. It's a slippery slope, and it's sort of a delicate thing to keep ourselves. But the more we pray, oh God, let me say this with the heart of hearts, he must increase and I must decrease, we're on solid ground and safe footing. And so he says, why must I decrease? Because Why must we decrease? Because of who we are not. And then we must decrease, secondly, because of who we are. What does he say there in verse 29? He who has the bride, he's going to paint a picture for them. Here's a metaphor. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. And I like that last sentence, which gives the lie to the fact that, oh, he must increase and I must decrease. That sounds so monotonously dull, so terribly unfulfilling. He says, no, this has led me to full joy. But what are you saying here? This is who we are. I'm just a friend. I'm a friend, and he pictures a wedding ceremony. Everybody's been to a wedding there, and everybody here has been to a wedding, and every once in a while you'll see the friend of the bridegroom, whom we may call the best man. It's an honor, isn't it, to be the best man? To have maybe the microphone put in your hand and you get to say a few words and it's your little moment there in the spotlight. But really, you're not speaking about yourself. You're speaking about your friend, the bridegroom. And it won't be long before you'll sort of slip back into the background and he will take center stage and people will rightly forget all about you as they focus on the bride and the bridegroom and what God is doing there in this union and the happiness of the young couple. We'll assume they're young. But he says, I'm just the friend. I am no groom. I am the friend of the bridegroom. And so it is only right that who has the bride, not the friend, but the groom. And he says, I'm the friend of the groom. He is the groom himself. And so what we're looking at is the groom and the bride coming together. And I'm just facilitating this whole thing. And this is just the beautiful posture of just introducing or bringing together and then stepping back out of the situation because you're not that important. You're important to God because you have helped in this regard. And then your duty is over. And your gladness is full because you have done what God gave you to do. And then you get to see the beautiful spectacle of the bride and the bridegroom. Oh, how Virginia Rogers loved this verse. How she loved this. The bridegroom has the bride, she would say. And she'd almost then say, John who? Oh, John the Baptist. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. So, who we are not the Christ. Who are we? We're just the friend of the bridegroom. I say just, that is a tremendous honor, right? And any one of us and every one of us can be in that position when we share the gospel with any person. And used by the grace of God, used to bring them together. At that point, you're the friend of the bridegroom. And then just get out of the way. And let the bridegroom take over. So it's who we are not, who we are. And then verse 31, what we are. Why must we decrease? Why must John decrease? You know that there is no one greater than John. Why must he decrease? Don't we need more men like him? Yes, we do. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. We need men like this. We need desperately God to send us men. But we need men who know what they are, not just who they are not or who they are, but what they are. Look at verse 31. He who comes from above, speaking of our Lord, he is above all. He who is of the earth. Now, who's he referring to there? Himself. He who is of the earth is from the earth, and he speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. He is putting these two characters, whether you want to think of it as the groom and the friend of the bridegroom, or in this sense, the Son of God from heaven and the forerunner who would come before him, one is from heaven and one is from earth. You cannot get a greater disparity than that, can you? And he says, this is what I am. I am from the earth. This one, he is from heaven, whereas I am from earth. I must decrease because of who I am. We had a brief discussion right before the meeting started about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says, because he's going to say the exact same thing. We do not preach ourselves, he says, but Christ Jesus as Lord. If you have to write this down, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not, starting at verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. That's just what John has said. And we preach ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We're just facilitators. We're helpers. We're friends of the bridegroom. For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Oh, that bridegroom, he's something, isn't he? Look at him. There's something about the glory of God upon him. Yes, there is. Oh, look at him. It's not just how he's dressed. Look at him. This is what Paul is saying. And you see him, and the glory of God is shining through him and upon him. And we're just trying to point him to that. And then he says, as he goes on, verse 7, but we ourselves, we have this treasure. And this is where one Christian band gets its name. The clay pots, clay jars, what do they call themselves?
Jars of clay.
Jars of clay. All right. What does Paul say? We are earthen vessels. Let me go back and see what John said. Oh, yes. He who is of the earth is from the earth, and he speaks of the earth. This doesn't mean that he has an earthly message. No, John has a heavenly message. It's like Paul saying, we have this treasure. But thanks be to God who always humbles himself. He puts that treasure in jars of clay, in earthen pots, in little envelopes of almost nothingness. And he lets his glory be carried in such. And so Paul and John are both saying, he must increase. But we who are of the earth, we must decrease. Because the more of this happens, well, he goes, let me keep reading. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way. And this is decreasing. But we're not crushed. We are perplexed. We're decreasing, but we're not despairing. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We are always carrying about. It's almost as if Paul is thought about John's words and is putting them in his own. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live, even though we are just of the earth, are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Speaking as one, I can say that the Christian why has Jesus not increased as much as he should? And it may just very well be that those who stand behind wooden podiums have not decreased as they should. That there is not the life of Jesus so manifest in our mortal flesh as it was in John and it was so clearly in Paul. Well, I didn't come up here to berate the Christian pastorate or those that preach. But let's use that as a prayer, shall we not? God help us. When he sends us men, Send us men that say in their heart of hearts, Jesus must increase. And toward that end, I want to decrease because I want my joy to be full, as was John's. And who think great satisfaction in saying, I am just the friend of the bridegroom. It is the groom who has the bride. And this gladdens our hearts unspeakably. Well, brethren, it's not just the men behind pulpits. It's the ladies teaching children at home. It's the guys on the job site. It's all of us as we come together. We must decrease. Jesus must increase. Let's pray.